Welcome to Comms Coach, the podcast that delves deep into the world of training and quality assurance for 911. Your host, Lori Henriksen, is a veteran in the field with more than 30 years' experience as a dispatcher, trainer, and high school teacher who started one of the country's first 911 dispatch programs for high school students in Las Vegas, Nevada. In each episode, a lineup of expert guests dive into the critical aspects of emergency communications training, quality assurance, and improvement. This is Comms Coach, building the strength behind every call.
Hi, and welcome to another inspiring podcast here on Comms Coach, designed to offer insight into the challenges and demands of 911 dispatch centers and discuss strategies that we can implement to ensure that we're serving our communities and responders the best way possible. Not only is the topic of continuing dispatch education very important, but I'm also super, super excited about my amazing guest today. I'd like to introduce the Director of Training and Development for the Denise Amber Lee Foundation, Halcyon Frank. Halcyon has a vast knowledge of the dispatch field and is an expert when it comes to training. Halcyon, can you please give us a brief description of your background in emergency telecommunications and training?
Yeah, brief description. If I could sum it up in one word, it'd be unintentional. I got into dispatch by accident, by so many of us do, and I got into dispatch training by accident, like I think so many of us do. I've been in the field for about 8 years now. Six, maybe seven of those have been in some type of training capacity. First center was small, just not many options, so kind of stepped into the role. And as I got going into it, really found stuff that I enjoyed, and so took it from there.
Right on. Well, let's just go right into our first topic. What have you noticed about the consistency of initial training or training academies throughout the U.S.?
I have noticed that there's not a lot of consistency. Definitely there is and there isn't. I should say, I don't want to say that, you know, there's make it sound like it's just doomed. But yeah, I think that's probably one of the biggest challenges is the consistency. One, because we don't have any kind of federally mandated training standards, and not every state has the minimum training standards. And two, because geographically, demographically, all those things, centers are so different, it really takes intentional action and consideration and thought to figure out how to make it more consistent while looking at all the differences. And so I think that's just something we haven't gotten to at this point of really like taking those intentional actions and going, okay, here's all the differences, but here's what we can do to make it more consistent across the board.
Yes. And I agree. I was very fortunate to start the majority of my dispatch career was spent at LVMPD here in Las Vegas. And we had a 12 to 14 week dispatch academy. And we went on from there. And so I've just always assumed that everyone had academies like that. And until I started teaching and then going to conferences and stuff and seeing that there are agencies that have actually even no academy at all. And
right,
it's just crazy, or a one day or a week. And so, yeah, I totally agree. Like there's a big difference in that. And then in, like you said, what is actually even being trained on, like the curriculum. So
yeah, just yes, huge inconsistencies. And not in anybody set out for it to be that way, but just, you know, kind of naturally, like I said, because of all the differences.
Correct. So once the initial training is over, if offered, and dispatchers are off probation, is it common for dispatch centers to offer any type of required or structured training at that time?
I think it's fairly common to have kind of some expectation in place of continued education. Again, mm-hmm. I think it varies from center to center, state to state, as far as what their state requires for the kind of officialness of it. If they have to submit certificates and right. actually like prove their continuing education. I think there's mm-hmm. other centers who do help with that and provide it, but maybe it's not as structured. Overall, I think it is something that needs to be improved and is a gap within the industry, not necessarily mm-hmm. of just this idea of ongoing education, but again, intentional specific structured plans in place to make sure people are getting what they need.
Right. And I know I've seen, and I don't want to put any particular agency on blast or anything, but there's a lot. I mean, everyone is so short now, and you know, you're just struggling to get those phone calls made and those radio transmissions done. And so it seems like training's just, it's an afterthought. Yeah. It says, get it on your own.
Yep. It's an afterthought. There's no time on the clock. Or, you know, and people don't want to take time out of their other stuff, which I understand. So yeah, it's a really tricky balance too.
Mm-hmm. So actually that kind of introduces us or brings us into the next question. Why do you think some of the reasons are that professional development or continuing dispatch education is often overlooked or disregarded? So what are some of your other thoughts on that?
Yeah. So this is like one of those, how long do you have? the obvious ones, like we kind of like touched on already. So time, mm-hmm. short staffing, funding, those kind of built-in things that again, vary from center to center. Mm-hmm. I think another huge influence though has been, historically, this has been a job. We're working on reclassification. We want to be seen as the professionals that we truly are. So I think in the past, it wasn't as important because of that connotation that this was just a job. You come in, you do your 8, 10, 12 hours, and you go home. And now that we're really shifting and looking at it as a career and as a place to be developed and develop those skills, we haven't gotten, you know, every center maybe on board with that, or to a point where they can also kind of follow that model as well. It just, even professional development, I think in the grand mm-hmm. scheme of society, sometimes it just falls to the wayside because there's just so many other demands. And when we think of learning, we think of going to a classroom and sitting in school for 8 hours a day. And that obviously is not attractive now. Like we do.
No.
Nobody's going to go back to high school for various reasons. And so I think some of it too is that kind of connotation when we think continuing ed and development. We're not just talking about sitting in classrooms, but that's what pops into people's heads. So I think those all kind of influence it.
Right. And I think too, I was thinking about this subject last night, and, you know, like I actually started my dispatch career in I hate to admit it, in the 80s. but, you know, even then the department offered tons of training, but it was geared towards police officers. And I took those, which was great, but they're realizing that the dispatch is a career and a specialty. And so there's a lot more coming forward. So,
yeah. It's very exciting that we are getting it. But yeah, it was just like that. And I, along with the connotation of sitting in a classroom, I think that's also has maybe left a bad taste, if you will, in people's mouth, thinking back to the days where they just sent you to a class with the law enforcement. And you were like, mm-hmm. yeah, there's some stuff I could get out of this, but like, why am I here kind of thing.
Right. And I'll tell you, from teaching high school dispatchers the last few years, even they don't want to come to school, but that's another subject.
Yes.
All right. So what do you think are the most common types of CDE trainings being offered by centers, and when and where can these trainings be held?
Yeah, virtual is so huge right now, right? Like coming out of COVID, I always tell people for everything that COVID was not great about and was not enjoyable for all those reasons, one of the positive things is it really kind of exploded the virtual training for the industry, which is huge for so many centers who have, again, are short staffed or just have small staffs, that they're able to do it at the console or just while on duty, but away from the console. So that was something I think actually came out. So I know virtual is huge right now in many different ways, whether it's video or classes. It gets kind of risky because what I've found is people will do it at the console, and that's obviously not an ideal learning environment, fully understanding why they have to, but, and when it's presented as like a check a box kind of thing, you know, it's very up in the air as to how much they're getting out of it.
Right.
So thankfully though, you know, on-site classes are coming back, different experience, different kind of along with the classes, but variations of that. But it is, I mean, slow times are obviously like a great time to do those things to keep you engaged in the job, but then also taking advantage of that downtime as well. And so, yeah, I think virtual has been great, but still doing the on-site classes and attending the conferences, I think though are very important still. Like we never want to just go all virtual because that's the simplest and easiest and most convenient.
Right. And I personally feel like I learn better in person. I learn better hands-on. I learn better where I can talk to somebody face-to-face. And it's a better environment for me. I mean, but virtual's been awesome. Yeah. While you were talking, I was thinking too, you know, besides even doing training while you're at the console in slow times, it's a great idea for briefing. So a lot of agencies have like a 10, 15 minute, half hour, whatever time before your shift starts. Those 2 minute trainings, those 2 minute training videos that used to be produced, those are awesome even to share in a briefing. And that checks off the box for an entire shift. Of a training too.
So. Yeah. And I think when people are like, well, we don't have time for it. Stuff like that is hugely important of like, okay, if we don't have time to send them or for an hour, what do we have time for? We have time for 2 minutes.
Correct.
We can, you know, a refresher on something, even just some basic stuff that again, whether or not they're taking a lot from it, even just offering it can be really beneficial.
Exactly. And sometimes even those 2 minutes can trigger some thoughts onto, hey, you know what? That was a great idea and we want to learn more. So it could give staff suggestions on, hey, let's do this other training next week. So
And I think it goes back to two in dispatch, especially right now, we talk about building your culture and what do you want your culture to be about and support. And so even something as simple as like a 2 minute training at the beginning of shift goes beyond the actual like topic you're talking about. And it really folds it into your culture and the expectation, the unspoken expectation that in this center, we expect you to keep, you know, working on your skills and continuing to develop without a bunch of requirements or extra steps, but still sending that message that we believe in professional development.
Right. And it also offers dispatchers a buy-in if they actually can offer suggestions and they're not just sitting there being told what to do. So that's exactly. I mean, you know, dispatchers, that's huge. We don't we're control and we don't like people to always control us.
Right. Yes. Yeah. Anytime we can have a voice in it is also super helpful.
Correct. We are going to take a quick break. We'll be right back with more from Halcyon.
This podcast is proudly sponsored by BX3 Public Safety. Their vision is built from the strong desire to advance 911 dispatcher training, where excellence is the standard. Their services include consultation and training with a focus on vocational dispatch programs for high school or college level students and established public safety dispatch communication centers. They want to ensure that the next generation of public safety professionals have the knowledge, skills, and abilities to help keep our first responders and communities safe. BX3 Public Safety, where training excellence is their standard.
So from your experience or perspective, are there any particular topics that you feel are most important for seasoned dispatchers to receive additional training on?
So many.
That's kind of an open question.
Yeah. I think especially for seasoned experience, reminders, just even the reminders of why you do what you do. And I don't even like necessarily calling it like back to basics because I don't want to oversimplify it, but just kind of the like reminders of the core parts of the job. And really the other thing is when it comes to professional development, I think sometimes we think, oh, well, I need to promote in order to develop, like that's what it is. It's just promotion. And I'm actually really cool just being on the front line. And that is 100% okay with me because we need people to be on the front line. And so any kind of topic or experience that's going to help you expand, like what I call horizontally, right? So being a frontline, mm-hmm. but doing tactical dispatch, learning more about specific call types that you really want to develop and be kind of a subject matter expert on. Any kind of topics like those that just help you expand, you know, learn more, do better at the role are going to be helpful. I don't know that there's necessarily, you know, like any specific, besides again, just those refreshers kind of on the core parts of the job, I think are important.
Yeah. And I agree, because sometimes when you're there for so many years, you develop your own little twitch or little way of doing something. And maybe that little way isn't really correct. And, yeah. and you're a CTO and you're teaching these things. So if you can get back to basics so that everyone's on the same page as to how this should be, I think it's cool. And it's not calling a particular person out either.
Yeah, just everybody being reminded. And I had a, I was teaching a class one time and I talked about, you know, talent development and staying up to date on the industry and best practices and those kinds of things. And somebody said, they're like, you know, I love my job and I love doing it, but when I go home, I want to disconnect. And I understand mm-hmm. that not everybody is going to be like a nerd like me. And I found even in recent years, it's not so much the dispatch side that I really like nerd out. It's training now, but I think that gives yes. me a good balance as well. But uh-huh. so it, and it's not to say that you have to like live, breathe and die by 9-1, because that's also not healthy. But right. when you are at work and you see that episode or that, you know, new copy of the Nina, the Call magazine or the APCO magazine, mm-hmm. look through it, see what the topics are that are really facing the industry. And just have an awareness of what's happening. And again, mm-hmm. you go home, you disconnect, that's fine. But just even stay up to date on, you know, what are the things that people are talking about? What are the best practices that might be changing?
Because it's changing so much. It just seems like the last few years with technology and all that, it's a different something every day that's coming oh, yes. out.
Yeah, it's, and there's a new program, there's a new idea, there's a new way to try something. Yeah, all the time.
So if a center doesn't offer or even assist employees with additional training, which some don't, how might mm-hmm. a dispatcher be able to receive the training that they need?
So many ways. There are, like I said, there's virtual training. I mean, everywhere nowadays, I think you can Google it. Obviously, the Denise Amberley Foundation has training courses Yay. Online. Yes. Nina, APCO, there's Virtual Academy. There's so many other providers as well that I would mention if I just remembered what they are. those are just the ones that are like popping into my head. So finding those virtual ones, finding ways to attend local conferences, because that's also a great way to mm-hmm. network and do all the things, but get the different training that may or may not be available virtually without having to, you know, bring in an 8-hour class for yourself, because those obviously come with a cost. And then looking even outside of the dispatch space, right? So mm-hmm. there's so many transferable skills. For instance, for me, for training purposes, I don't just look at what I can find on dispatch training, because adults learn how adults learn. And so right. extending out beyond that to places that just talk about training and how the brain works and those types of things. So, you know, if you are interested in domestic violence calls or human trafficking calls, you know, those different ones, or even like fire calls, if those are the topics that interest you, find things outside of it as well. Look for the fire resources. Look for the research on domestic violence and, you know, look at what you think might impact or how you can change your questions based on the research that you're seeing. All those kinds right. of things. I just always encourage people to look even outside the space, because there's so much available to learn from.
And there is. And teaching this for the past 13 years at the dispatch high school, that's kind of what I had to do for the curriculum for the students. My passion is crisis intervention, mental illness, suicidal callers. And there's not a lot out there for dispatcher. There wasn't. And so mm-hmm. like one of the first resources I looked for was NAMI. And there's yeah. some great stuff on there. Or Oh, what was the other one I was going to say? Wellness too. There's so much stuff for wellness that's not really geared specifically towards dispatch, but I mean, we can learn so much from all these other sites.
And I've had people kind of ask, how did I get into the position I'm in? Right. So I really, really, truly enjoy the role that I'm currently in. And I don't, you know, I don't have like, oh, we'll do step 1, 2, 3, 4, and you'll find a job at a foundation where you get to do training. but what really contributed for it was knowing that I really enjoy dispatch. I really was finding a passion for the training aspect and kind of drilling down into that myself and growing my skills and my knowledge base. So as we've mentioned, like if there's something that interests you, like become that subject matter expert. Because whether it's even just for your own center or you go out and share larger into the dispatch industry, I think that's also a good way too to help develop yourself is to find that thing that interests you, that helps motivate you to learn more about it, and then utilizing that to really kind of deep dive.
Right. And that's how I started on the, I shouldn't say adventure, but on my focus was to learn more about mental illness and stuff. Because when I first started on the department, you know, they says, okay, you're going to take suicide calls, but if you don't really know how to communicate with them, you can always transfer them to the suicide hotline. And I'm like, I do not want to be to just say, okay, hold. I wanted to learn how to communicate and help them. And then I felt better. I felt better when I talked to somebody and I felt that I had the tools necessary. So like you said, once you have a passion for a certain subject or whatnot, there's so many tools out there and resources out there for you to learn from.
So, yeah.
Specifically in the age that we're in.
Yeah. I can't imagine living without Google. I don't know what I would do.
No, we used to have these things called books and they were heavy. So, all right. Let's see. What benefit can dispatchers actually get from taking courses meant for field responders or even participating in ride-alongs with them?
I think it's incredibly beneficial to have the big picture. And so that's why too, still going to those trainings, the ride-alongs really help learn like the big picture and the role I play in it. And I think as those at the console, we get frustrated with those on the other side, and a big gap in the communication is because they don't know what's going on the other side. So when we go out and we learn those things, or when they come in, you know, into the center, we're able to start bridging that gap. And so it's incredibly beneficial to still know what they do, why they do it, to an extent, how they do it. And it can be a great way to just increase efficiency, increase trust, and again, bridge that communication gap.
I agree. And I've always felt that the best dispatchers know and understand what their field responders do. And the field responders that are the best know and understand why dispatch does what they do. I've always told my students, take any of those things and that you can. But in my program, I also taught them a lot of law enforcement. I taught them a lot of firefighter skills, medic skills, again, so that they can understand what they're dispatching and why you need 20 cops out or why you need one cop out.
It's so true. I remember somebody just explaining to somebody who wasn't in the industry, they saw an article about like a call and, you know, there was this many officers on scene. And I'm like, well, you know, because I've now gotten to do the ride alongs. It, you know, if this person pulled them over and they called the canine and then maybe it escalated, they needed a sergeant and somebody had a trainee, you know, FTO with them. And even just stuff like that, like you said, then you know why you needed 20 or why they need all the fire apparatus or whatever it is. It just makes everything make more sense. And again, then as a dispatcher, I know, you know, what they need. So just using law enforcement, because I think it's the easiest. I know if they're asking me for these resources, I need to just go ahead and notify a supervisor, whether or not they've asked me, I can take that extra step because I know that's probably what's coming. And so it just makes a better team member.
Exactly. You know, one of the first, actually, I think it was the first ride along I ever went on. I was riding with a sergeant and he took me to this mobile home park across Las Vegas on the other side of town from where I live. I was unfamiliar with it. And it was this, it's like a mile long mobile home park. And he says, okay. He goes, I'm going to park right here. He goes, you're my dispatcher. And you just told me that there's a violent domestic violence call at space 45. How do I get there? And I said, well, you go to 45. And he said, look, yeah. He's like, look at the spaces. He goes, what number is that? And I said, 102. He goes, what's next to it? I said, 19. He said, what's next to that? He said, 27. I'm like, oh no. So he said, you know what would help me? And I said, giving you directions. And he goes, yeah. He goes, if dispatch would take that extra moment at the end of the call and say, from the front entrance of this mobile home park, how do we best get to you? And so from that moment on, at most of my calls at the end of the call, I would say, you know, okay, from the front entrance, how do I get to your apartment or your mobile home or your development? And it was just that one extra step. I would have never learned that in the academy, but I learned it on a ride along because I could actually see what they were doing in the field and how hard that was. And it was just one little thing that I could do.
Right. And even I think there's been times where I've done ride alongs and it's the reverse way. They do something and I go, actually, I know we had like the one agency I was at, we had switched CADs and they had gotten used to running like data bursts in a certain format. And I was like, I know, you know, it's extra work for you guys, but if you can actually do it this way now, it just, we get it in that much faster. We can get your information back to you that much faster because we're not having to like wait for you to say it and then type it in, you know, it flows better. And so just little things like that. It's just that exchange of information and learning about each other.
Totally. Totally. I agree. So lastly, if you could leave our audience with one last bit of advice regarding training, what would that be?
So you had sent me these questions ahead of time and I was like, oh man, this is a tough one because there's so many things. But I think too, sometimes again, people are like, I want to disconnect from the job. And I 100% get that. And there's still times where I, you know, don't want to know anything about 911 training. I just want to do other stuff. But when it comes to developing yourself in general, I had my favorite professor in college. I just remember one time in a class, he told us, you know, your education is something no one can take from you. They can take your copy of a certificate. They can take your, you know, your diploma. They can take whatever, but everything that you pick up and learn along the way, no one can take that from you. That's, you know, stuff that you now have, the skills you've learned, the information you've learned, that's all now yours. And there's no physical way for somebody to come take that from you. So continue to gather those things because it's one of the few things in life that are truly just yours. You know, we have stuff, we have money, we have houses or apartments or whatever it is. And those can all be taken away. But to an extent, as long as we're still functioning, no one can take what you've learned away from you.
So true. So true. So Halcyon, thank you so much for sharing your insight into such an important discussion. I'm so thankful we were able to have it today. And hopefully this has provided all of you with some great information and we were able to spark some amazing ideas for you to either obtain new trainings for yourself or share with your comm centers. If you have any ideas for any topics that you would like to know more about, or if you're willing to share your expertise on future episodes, please email me at Lori@comms-coach.com. That's Lori@comms-coach.com. Thank you so much for sharing with us today.
Thanks. It's been fun.